Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN, a special pledge edition. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. November through May is the dry season here in Florida, and this dry season has been really dry, so much so that large sections of Broward and western Miami-Dade counties are considered abnormally dry. That's the official term. And much of Palm Beach County is officially under drought conditions right now. All this spells potential trouble at the bottom of the peninsula in the months ahead in Florida Bay. Thousands of underwater acres of seagrass died off 2 years ago, helped by dry conditions in the mainland and a lack of fresh water flowing into the bay. Now, that came almost 20 years before an earlier die-off. Tylan Dean is the chief researcher at the Everglades and Dry Tortugas National Parks.
What we saw after the 1980s event was additional seagrass dying as a result of the algal bloom, and a large portion that we think was due to shading, just the fact that the light couldn't penetrate to the seagrasses below.
Now, a new report from the Everglades Foundation finds the annual economic impact from recreational and commercial fishing in Florida Bay is almost $500 million per year, plus the higher property values on homes in and around the bay. Now, all this coming as the Florida legislature in Tallahassee continues wrestling with whether or not to spend more than $2 billion over the next many years on water storage south of Lake Okeechobee. So this is where we will begin. In Florida Bay, on the Florida Roundup, you can tweet us your thoughts at WLRN. Our guest, Nancy Klinger, covering the Florida Keys, with us on the mainland here in our main studio. Nan, great to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on dry land here. What's the condition? What do we know about Florida Bay as we're coming to the end, perhaps, of this dry season?
Yeah, Florida Bay, as we were saying 2 years ago, suffered another seagrass die-off, which was really, really worrisome to the fishermen and to the researchers who work on the bay, because it was a flashback to the late 80s and early 90s when a seagrass die-off led to these catastrophic algae blooms that turned the famously, as they say, gin-clear waters into a pea soup. And people were really worried that that could happen again. And we did see some algae blooms over the last year. They have now cleared up.
Nothing like what we saw, though, in the estuaries and the Treasure Coast, for instance.
Right, yeah. Right. Nothing like that.
So the algae blooms we did see clear up. The condition here this dry season is, again, large swaths of the area south of Lake Okeechobee, where the fresh water comes from for Florida Bay, are in abnormally dry or drought conditions right now.
Yeah, and that's really worrisome. I'm sure that the people in the Upper Keys are watching that very carefully.
How does all this compare to the experience 2 years ago when researchers estimated, 50,000 acres of seagrass died off in the summer months?
Yeah, and the question that we will be watching unfold is whether that was an isolated event or the beginning of another catastrophic condition for the bay.
Is it comparable to what was experienced back in the late 80s?
We don't know yet.
Too early to tell.
Yes.
Science moves slowly sometimes.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. What we do know, though, is after that 87-88 experience, what the scientists have told us is it took more than a decade.
It took 20 years.
To come back.
Yeah, it took 20 years for the bay to recover.
And what does that mean for the bay to recover?
It means for the seagrass beds to recover and grow back and provide the kind of habitat and just keeping the muck down on the water that that you need in the bay.
So what's at stake for the Keys? What's at stake for the bay?
Well, for the Keys, as you were saying, economically, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. There's an incredible recreational sport fishing industry. And there's also, even though commercial fishing isn't allowed in most of the bay because most of the bay is in Everglades National Park, it's a nursery for a lot of really important species like spiny lobster.
Tell us about when we're talking about the sport fishing industry, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about flats fishing, the kind of famous fishing that Ted Williams and Zane Grey used to come to the Keys to do, and that people travel, you know, thousands of miles and spend tens of thousands of dollars now to come to the Keys for this experience.
And so how engaged is the community down there as it looks north of the Keys into Florida Bay, and it looks at, in some cases, their livelihoods?
Yeah, they're very engaged. And, you know, they've been engaged in the whole Everglades restoration process from the beginning. George Barley lived in Isla Mirada. Mm-hmm. So it's just been hard to make the case from the Keys, which are a relatively small part of South Florida population-wise, that this is an incredibly important resource.
Is it part of the debate? Do the conchs there, are they experiencing, are they participating in this more specific debate as it relates to water storage 200, 250 miles away from them, up just south of Lake Okeechobee?
Absolutely. I would say the recreational fishermen from the Isla Mirada and Key Largo areas are very engaged in Everglades restoration because they know that they're at the end of the system.
And how are the Keys figuring in to this debate? We know that the Senate in Tallahassee has a bill that would have this water storage move faster than what it's planned for under the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan. But the House budget hasn't included it yet.
Yeah, the Keys are very engaged with the Everglades Foundation. They are very much backing the idea that you need clean, fresh water to come into Florida Bay. It can't only be a rainfall-driven system.
Is there some kind of irony involved, though, with so much focus and debate on the water storage has been driven by that guacamole algae that we saw in the Treasure Coast, which was the result of many things, but one of them was too much water too soon. And here we are, you're at the end of that water system, talking about not enough water in enough time.
Yeah, and that's always been the irony of Everglades restoration and managing the Everglades in, you know, as a whole. Is getting the water right.
And so how is the Keys kind of exerting itself in this debate? And what I mean by that is you acknowledge it's a small community by population, by headcount. Its legislators are not those necessarily in leading legislative positions in Tallahassee. Some are, but not necessarily at the top of the ticket, per se.
Well, and we only have two of them.
Right. That's the other part. Yeah.
One state representative and one state senator yeah. who is in a leadership position. But, you know, I think that the Keys have to make the case for exceptionalism, which is what they've always done. We're an area of critical state concern, which has gone a long way toward getting funding for environmental projects and other attention, both from Tallahassee and even from Washington. And I think they have to just keep making that case, and they have to make it to new people, because when the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan was passed in 2000, the Keys were an important part of that, and the plight of Florida Bay was a really important part of that. But you know, environmental groups and Democrats were largely behind it. Mm-hmm. But the Keys were able to make that case to Republicans because they had really well-connected Republicans who lived in Isla Mirada and in the Keys. And I'm not sure they still have those kinds of connections in Tallahassee and Washington these days.
And also at that time, you had, you know, the son of a former president in the governor's mansion in Tallahassee who knew the Keys well and knew those fishing flats well because his dad fished there. Talking
That's
about Governor
right.
Bush.
That's right. President Bush loved to fish off Isla Mirada.
And so, you know, essentially you're saying there's potentially that lack of a political connection now.
Right.
Yeah. And the cost to the Keys has been this falls down on the agenda?
Possibly. I mean, they still have a very strong economic case, though.
And so as we come back to the state of Florida Bay today at this end of this dry season, what are the scientists going to be looking at? What are the politicians going to be looking at?
I think they're going to be looking to see if the seagrass dies off, if the water, if it's too dry again, and what happens with the algae blooms.
How concerned are they about these new designations that came out just this week about abnormally dry in western Dade County and western Broward County and a drought just south of Lake Okeechobee?
I haven't spoken to them, but I'm guessing they are extremely concerned.
Watching the weather forecast. Nan Klinginer, our Monroe County Key West-based correspondent here on the mainland with us. Always great to have you, Nan.
Thanks, Tom.
Stay tuned. We still got a pledge edition of the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. We'll be talking about the Miami-Dade cops who were ambushed in a shooting this week, and it led to a show of force in the neighborhood. That's next when the Roundup continues.